Welcome to the First 15 Podcast. The next 15 minutes are going to help you transform your real estate career. And now, your host, Master Coach and founder of Real Estate Grad School, Rich Levin.
Good Thursday morning. I said it already once. I don't know how it slipped my mind. Welcome to First 15 at 8:15. Really glad to have you here. Let's get right into it. So here's our, you know, we do simulcast this on podcast and on webinar. And my team places it all kinds of places. We'll have to figure out why and tell you that sometime. But y'all are here, so it doesn't make any difference to you or me. All right, so here's our simulcast pause. Today, we are going to talk a little bit about the fun part of negotiating as part of working with buyers. So the fun part are small negotiating moves. Now, I call them small negotiating moves. A lot of people who teach negotiating just teach lots of these small moves. I call them gambits. I looked up the word gambit, and it means like a small move with a purpose, something like that. So these are smaller negotiating moves that are fun, they work, and they can impress your clients. There's lots and lots of them. I'm going to do four. Remember not the four I'm about to tell you, but remember the first four rules of negotiating. Remember to get as much information as possible, to prepare your clients, keep people focused on the goal, and lead with questions. Those are really the core of your negotiating skills. But these final four are fun little gambits. So they're fun and they can work really well. Let's get into it. Enough already. We did have Moshe Steiff yesterday on our live call. It's posted. If you go to the library link and look up live calls, I think webinar. You know, I don't know if Chava posted that under. It'll be under either library and webinar interviews under live calls, probably under live calls, and coaching in live calls. At any rate, if you can't find it, let us know. We'll help you out. But it was a fascinating conversation with a person who's been extraordinarily successful, working very hard, learning how to cold call. Lots to learn there. All right, we are in the latter stages of talking about negotiating more confidently and successfully under the topic of everything buyers. And of course, I've talked already about how negotiating is a key skill. And when you become strong in negotiating, you really become strong in many areas of your business. So working on negotiating has a lot of good effect. We said there are 9 negotiating strategies, and we covered the first four. Those are the top four. Those are the key four I was just telling you about. You need to master these first. The others are fun. Okay, what's number 5? Got that? Yeah, the others are fun. These are core. These are substantive. These help you in every aspect of your business and in any communication in your life. Number 1, get as much information as possible before the negotiation begins. Number 2, prepare the clients for the negotiation. Number 3, keep everyone focused on the goal. We're going to touch on that today. And number 4, lead with questions and pay sincere attention. Those are the core ones. You really want to build those into your skill set. Then yesterday we talked about adapting to negotiating styles. We did that for a few days. That's a lot of fun. And today we're going to cover all four of these gambits, these four small moves in negotiating. So let's get into it. All right. The first one is to get the other party to negotiate with themselves when possible. So what does this mean, get the other party to negotiate with themselves? What it means is that during the negotiation, one of the parties makes an offer, and you get them to raise the offer without responding. So an agent calls you and says, I have an offer on your listing. You say, how much is it? They say $475. You say, can you do any better than that? You know, that's going to be a little hard to work with. Can you go back to your client and see if they will make a higher initial offer? The agent says, sure, I told them the same thing. Goes back to their buyer, brings back an offer for $480 or $485. You've just caused them to negotiate with themselves. You know, you gave a response, but the seller didn't even know about the offer. The seller never responded. And obviously, if you're on the other side of that, the right thing to do is just say, no, please present this offer, and let's see where we take it from here. Here's an example that I wrote up. Let's see how it plays. Getting the other party to negotiate with themselves. Buyers make an offer to a seller. Seller receives the offer, tells the agent, we want a little more, but you know what? We'd accept this if it's the best we can do. Okay? So some agents say, great, let's sign it, let's get it done. But I like to have some fun with this. The sellers have said they'll accept it. Let me see if I can get them more. Let me see if I can be a hero for them. After all, they are my client. So the listing agent calls the buyer's agent and says, I'm with the sellers right now. And I reversed this, didn't I? So let me fix this right in front of you. I'm with the sellers right now, and we're close. Would you call the buyers and tell them, I screwed this up. So it should be the other way around. Tell the buyers that if they will come up another $1,500, then it's a done deal. Now, the sellers have not yet responded to the buyer. They haven't given a response. I guess they did, but it's not a written formal response. See, this is one of the dangers of negotiating verbally. You can be so easily taken advantage of. You know, Kelly and I were talking extensively about how the quality of negotiating has just eroded into almost amateurism. So you leave yourself so vulnerable to a more talented negotiator, or as a talented negotiator, you can be an absolute hero. Imagine the referrals you'll get from this seller when the buyer, the agent says, hang on, I'll call him on my other phone, calls the buyer within a minute or two, comes back and says, look, they'll go up $1,000, but not $1,500. And you say, you know what? I'll call you right back. Let me talk to my sellers about it. You talk to the sellers. The sellers laugh. They say, wow, you just made us another $1,000. We owe you dinner. You wait a few more minutes as if it's hard. And then you call the agent back, say, tell the buyers congratulations, they've bought a house. And let us know when you want to start inspections and so on. I'll clean up the paperwork. And do you want me to just change the price? We'll initial it. How do you want to handle it, et cetera? But imagine those sellers will talk about you forever. So there's a Winston Churchill story. That Winston Churchill, who was the Prime Minister of England, I don't know my English history, and he had a speechwriter, and he had a new speechwriter who really wanted to impress him. So the speechwriter wrote the first speech he needed to write for Winston Churchill, and put it on his desk, and Churchill put it back on the and Churchill and later in the day put it back on the speechwriter's desk and said, "You'll have to do better than this." And so the speechwriter spent hours working on it hard, put it back on Churchill's desk. Got it back on his desk a little while later. Said, you'll have to do better than that. Did it a third time. Gets a note back, same note. So the speechwriter goes into Winston Churchill's office and says, look, I have written this. I've done this, going over this so many, I've spent so long. This is the best I can do. So Churchill said to him, great, then I'll read it. Which implies he never even read it the first time. He caused the speechwriter to improve it without even looking at it. And just by saying, you can do better than that, cause that person to push themselves. It caused the speechwriter to negotiate with themselves. So it's a really cool thing to do. It's kind of fun, makes you a hero with your clients, and doesn't cause you to lose the deal if you do it tactfully and well in the way that I just described it. Okay, so get the other party to negotiate with themselves, but never negotiate with yourself. The response to that is, when you're asked to do that, say, you know, get me the response in writing. I promise I'm going to do everything I can to put it together. Then you get the call back that the seller accepted your offer as it is because they didn't want to risk losing it. Got it. Second, when this is act number 7 or something. When asked for a concession, always ask for a concession in return. So when somebody asks you for something, so you make the offer, the seller responds and wants less or wants different, wants to take something away. Well, let me give you the example that I wrote up. When asked for a concession, always ask for a concession in return. Buyers make an offer, and the offer includes the washer, dryer, refrigerator, and stove, okay? And buyer's not a full price offer, makes an offer, includes all the appliances, and the listing included the appliances. The seller's willing to leave them, okay? The seller accepts removing the appliances, but asks the buyer, wow, I wrote this really wrong, but asks the buyer for $1,000 less, Okay, I'm sorry. The buyer accepts removing the... Buyers make an offer, including washer, dryer, refrigerator, and stove. Okay, seller... Okay, got it. Seller accepts the offer. Seller doesn't accept the offer. Seller counters the offer, removing the appliances. Whoop. Forgive me. But must have been late when I did this. Counters removing the appliances. Says, look, I'll take the offer, but I'm not going to take that price offer with the appliances. So the buyer says, I want $1,000 less price without them. Seller says no. Buyer says, okay, I'll buy the house anyway. The buyer, now what happens? Why bother to ask? Couldn't you lose the offer? You could. If you're in a competitive situation, you wouldn't do that. If there were multiple offers, you wouldn't do that. Because they'll take another, they're more likely to take another offer. Or you might still do that and just be bold. It's possible. You know, whether the seller accepts the offer or not, you know, whether the seller accepts the offer or not, the buyers will buy the house. So the buyer asks for it, but doesn't really care about it. But why does they bother to ask if they don't care about it? Because it dampens the expectations of the buyer, of the seller, to ask for more next time. Asking causes the seller to be more careful in asking for the rest of the negotiation. So now, when the buyer asks for something on the inspection, the seller is more likely to accept because they are a little more fearful and they know they've already shaken the negotiation a little bit. So when asked for, I didn't present that as well as I feel I could, but when asked for a concession, ask for a concession in return, it causes the other party to be more careful about asking for more in the negotiation. It dampens their expectations and dampens their aggressiveness in the negotiation. And of course, the counter to that, when asked for a concession, always ask for a concession in return. If you're being asked for a concession in return, just say no. And don't let it affect your or your client's anticipation of how to move forward in negotiation. But it's almost impossible not to be affected by that. Okay. Simple one. We talked about this a number of times. Keep your enthusiasm level just below theirs. We talked about this in showing houses. Don't be more enthusiastic than they are because they will be suspicious of you. So in the negotiation too, I almost lost a full price deal. I had a full price offer on a house and it was early on. I sold lots of houses in the first few days they were on the market. Lots and lots and lots. Maybe more than half the houses I sold. Either found them for the buyers myself or sold them when they were very new on the market. So I brought an offer in with the first day or two, full price offer, early on in my career, before I knew this. And man, I walked in. Now, in those days, you presented the offer directly to the seller. Isn't that crazy? We did it all the time. Kelly and I talked about this. I would suggest it's the right thing to do for your buyer. If you really represent the buyer, it's best for you to present your offer directly to the seller. But let's leave that aside. And I'll say, well, I was presenting the offer directly to the seller with the other agent present, of course. And I said, man, you guys are going to love this. Full price offer, no contingencies. You know, your house is sold. And the agent, the seller looked to the agent and said, give me a second. We'd like to talk to our agent about this. I wanted to scream at him. What do you want to talk about? I just brought you your golden offer. What, are you kidding me? I was an amateur back then. I hadn't learned all these things. So I've learned since then. You know, you got to keep, they're enthusiastic. There's an offer. So I say, look, I had to work hard to really get this seller. Instead, I say to them, look, I had to really work really hard with the buyers. I think your house is worth what you're asking. But of course, buyers want to negotiate. But I did. I worked hard and I was able to get them to make a full price offer. And they like the house very much. And so it's a pretty clean offer and I'd like you to seriously consider it. So your enthusiasm level is a little below theirs. Now they say to the agent, this is great. Holy cow. You did, to their agent, you did a great job. Congratulations. And thank you so much for getting your buyers. Sure, we'll sign it. But because I allowed my enthusiasm to get a little above theirs, a little more than theirs, I almost lost myself a full price offer. So keep your enthusiasm level just below theirs. All right. Wrap it up in two turns. This is an important one. See, when a buyer makes an offer, they're thinking about buying the house. Of course, seems obvious, doesn't it? But watch. And when the seller gets that first offer, they're thinking about selling the house. Of course. But then when the seller counters the offer back to the buyer, okay, then All of a sudden, the buyer starts thinking about the money. Oh my gosh, are we paying too much? They stop thinking about the house, or they think less about the house, and they start saying, are we paying too much? If the buyer counters that offer, then the seller says, are we getting enough? So instead of thinking about the house, they're thinking about the money. It's the money. And then if the seller counters back, because these are amateur negotiators, because these aren't professional negotiators, if you as the agent or the other agent don't keep the client's objective, it gets personal. The buyer says, well, do they think they have a freaking palace here? What's going on? And the seller gets a counteroffer back. They want to steal my house. And people are getting unreasonable because they're making it personal. So one of the top four keys to negotiating, stay focused on the goal. Don't let the parties get distracted. If it goes back and forth, they will want to make it personal. Don't let them make it personal. Stay focused on the goal and keep everyone objective. So that's all under the topic of wrap it up in two turns. If you can get the first offer accepted or the first counteroffer accepted when the people are still thinking about the house and the move and what they want, man, your life gets much easier. People are much happier with you. So wrap it up in two turns by doing all these other things we've taught you in the process of negotiating. So choose one of the 9 negotiating skills. Let me go through them again. Get as much information as possible. Prepare the client. Pick one of these that you really want to work on. Get as much information as possible. Prepare the client. Stay focused on the goal. Lead with questions. Pick one of those. Or pick one of these. Adapt to negotiating styles. Wrap it up in two turns. When asked for a concession, ask for one in return. Get the other party to negotiate with themselves. Keep your enthusiasm level just below theirs. Choose one of those negotiating skills and work on it until you own it. And then add the next one. And then add the next one so that you're really owning these negotiating skills. I promise you they're going to make you stronger throughout your business. Owning your skills, owning your greatness, owning your expertise. Man, there's a story. We're out of time because there's a story I'd love to tell you. I'm going to make a note to tell you tomorrow morning. And with that, to exceed your goals, pick one thing at a time. Let's work on it, make it your own, and keep getting stronger. Continuous growth creates continuous growth in your success. Continuous growth in your skills. So to exceed your goals today, follow this ingredient for your success. Make a great day. Make a sale. Hug the ones you love and reach out. Let us know whatever you need. We are committed to your success. Be well. Bye.
Thanks for listening to our podcast with Rich Levin. Please subscribe and check us out at www.regradschool.com to learn more about how we have helped develop top agents over more than 20 years. See you next time.